This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we're going to discuss media coverage of the explosion of wealth and income inequality in the United States as Republicans refused to extend ACA tax credits, which will drive up healthcare costs for 20 million Americans. In her recent piece in The American Prospect, Emma Jensen writes, "We are living in a new gilded age. Tens of millions of Americans rely on government food and medical assistance that Republicans have voted to cut. Some Americans use buy now, pay later apps to pay for their rent and groceries, and wages can't keep up with inflation. But the wealthy are doing just fine. The stock market is up 48% since 2022. Luxury brand purchases are holding strong. Elon Musk is about to get a $1 trillion pay package. Our country is dramatically unequal, and it's only getting worse." Emma Jensen is writing fellow at the American Prospect, where she reports on anti-poverty policy, health, and political power. Her recent piece is called "Selling the Poor on Spending Like They're Rich: How Plutonomy, Premiumization, and Social Media Squeeze the Middle Class." Hi, Emma. Thanks for your work and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on and for reading my work.
Well, it's great to have you. It's such an important topic. I want to ask you, given that the affordability crisis is getting wall-to-wall media coverage, what are your thoughts about how major media are covering inequality and the affordability crisis?
Yeah, that is a great question. Affordability is such a buzzword right now, and I think rightfully so. It's something that pretty much every American is experiencing, this economic crunch and this frustration at the government and the corporations that are sort of fueling our inequality. I think something that I have found lacking in not all mainstream media outlets, but many, is a really clear-eyed description of, you know, two things. One, why exactly are things so unequal right now and so unaffordable? And two, what does it actually look like when you are a working class, low income, or even middle class American, and maybe you lose your SNAP coverage, or you take on debt through, like my article talks about, these buy now, pay later platforms? What does it feel and look like for these people? So that's something that I am thinking about a lot right now, is how can media responsibly and very clearly tell these stories without getting lost either in the policy of it or in cliches.
But to also focus on how a lot of this is because of policy choices, right?
Yes, exactly. And I think 2025, I'm reflecting as the year comes to a close, we have seen so many policy changes this year coming from the White House and the federal government more broadly. I have been thinking about, of course, as you mentioned just at the start of this segment, the expiration of the Obamacare subsidies that are going to really devastate many Americans and their ability to access healthcare coverage. That's one. We also have impending Medicaid and SNAP cuts through the One Big Beautiful Bill Act from earlier this year. We have executive orders that are just kind of loosely changing some policies, and we will maybe see some trickle-down effects making it harder to live. So yes, you're absolutely right. There has been an overwhelming amount of policy changes that are making it harder to live and afford the things that working and middle-class people should be able to afford.
And we should say this House GOP-authored healthcare bill, the vote was 216 to 211. The bill will ultimately be dead on arrival in the Senate. And So it looks like unless there's some sort of proposal before January 30th, it's just going to be devastating for millions of people. They're going to go without healthcare because so many people cannot afford these premium hikes.
Exactly. People are going to basically make the decision, you know, do I get a second job to try to cover these extra thousands or even in some cases tens of thousands of dollars of healthcare costs, or am I going to kind of take the bet and play Russian roulette and not get health insurance? And this is something that we at the American Prospect have been trying to focus on, and I will try to continue to do in 2026, is just look at the really wide-ranging effects that this will have on the health of, children in this country, the proliferation of chronic illnesses like diabetes, heart disease, et cetera, and also how this will change our medical system. Emergency rooms and emergency medical services are already under immense strain. There are already millions of Americans who use ERs for primary care because it's, at ERs cannot turn you away for lack of ability to pay. So a lot of people end up there for routine medical care. And I think that these changes to the subsidies will only make that worse. And so every single American who uses the healthcare system, which is all of us, will feel this in some way, even if you do have health insurance.
I want to ask you, which outlets do you think are doing a good job? Because a couple of days ago, we did a show about the affordability crisis and we shared resources. And I found a lot of good articles out there. The Washington Post had a piece last month, Poverty Spikes in the Land of Tech Billionaires. They focus on a man, Tazo Stewart Riascos, who walks 28,000 steps a day. He's got three jobs all over the Bay Area, and he can barely afford his rent. And then CBS Sunday Morning, and this is pretty unusual, they had a 17-minute piece about working people who are living in hotels on the brink of homelessness. So if you'd like to highlight some good reporting that you've seen, and then given who is in office at the federal level, all of this great reporting that's now coming out, what changes? I mean, things will just get worse under this administration. That's just a fact. So it now has to go to the states to take care of this. So what are your thoughts about the result and the outcome of some of this reporting, like yours?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think I'll definitely touch on the what you mentioned about policy leadership shifting to the state level. But in terms of reporting that has really resonated with me, I think, it's weird. Sometimes outlets that you don't necessarily expect to have the best coverage of poverty, they'll come out with an excellent piece. So my advice to folks who are just looking for good coverage is to read broadly and, experiment with different outlets. Sometimes you'll be surprised, but I would definitely highlight, a little shameless self-promotion. At the American Prospect, we have a team that is, I think, so well attuned to how real people are suffering under the Trump administration. To speak to kind of more about the subsidy expiration, my colleague Whitney Curry Wimbish put out a piece, I believe it was either late last week or earlier this week, about how these cuts are going to impact children and sometimes the most vulnerable children. I just to briefly give you a hint of what this piece is about, it talks about, this horrifying scenario where if you don't have health insurance and you can't afford to take your child to a doctor and their illness keeps getting worse and worse until you finally end up in the ER, it has happened before that doctors will then say this could have been prevented with medical care earlier, and they call Child Protective Services and that child gets taken away because their family couldn't afford to get them seen sooner. So I would really recommend reading that piece. It's devastating. And following our coverage of poverty in America. But I am such a huge fan of local and sometimes like alternative local papers. I'm based in Chicago, although I am my family's all in the Bay Area, so love the Bay Area. But here in Chicago, we have some alternative weekly papers like the Southside Weekly and the Chicago Reader that are just doing really excellent work, highly specific local work. And I'm sure that wherever you live, whoever's listening, you also have some great local papers, and I'd really recommend looking into those.
I love what you said there, Emma. Read as much as you can. We read a wide variety of sources. We're speaking with Emma Jansen, writing fellow at the American Prospect. We're talking about her piece, Selling the Poor on Spending Like They're Rich, How Plutonomy, Premiumization, and Social Media Squeeze the Middle Class. You write about how the rich have gravitational pull on the economy, dragging it in their direction. According to Moody's analytics, the top 10% of American earners are now doing almost half of the spending. The wealth of the top 10% is up to $113 trillion, up $5 trillion just between April and July, according to the Federal Reserve. The top 1% now holds $52 trillion in wealth, which is a new record. That matters for several reasons. First, it produces an unclear picture of the economy. So, can you talk more about this and how it doesn't really tell us about the economic realities for the majority of working class and middle class people?
Yeah, absolutely. So the idea that I'm trying to highlight in this piece, I think there's a useful visualization for the kind of inequality of our economy. If you imagine the letter K, like a capital letter K, you have that like vertical line, and then you have one diagonal line that's slanting upwards and another diagonal line that's slanting downwards. And some people have taken to calling our economy a K-shaped economy because you have some people who are just moving up. They are making more. They're getting their bonuses through work. Their wealth is accumulating through the stock market. They're able to buy things, et cetera. And then you have the lower diagonal of the K, which is the majority of Americans. You are facing cuts from the federal government. Your health insurance is getting more expensive. You have student debt, medical debt, or even consumer debt that keeps growing due to interest. And so your economic prospects are moving down. And what's really useful about this K image is that if you try to look at the economy in aggregate, and if you try to kind of, I guess, average out what the quote unquote average American is experiencing, you do really get this unclear picture because the wealthy are so wealthy and they're so well off that it distorts the average. So that's why, you'll see some economic data every so often that's like, hey, we're actually doing fine. Like people are spending still, people are buying goods, people are investing, yada, yada. But found in really
Oh, Emma, we're losing your line.
for my groceries. Yeah, so it's
Emma,
this idea of an
can you repeat
average.
that? We just lost your line.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was talking about how there's not, you have this idea of an average American who is doing just fine, but when you look around, you might not actually experience it that way. And it's often because the wealthy are so wealthy, they're spending so much that it kind of distorts the entire idea of what an average American is feeling right now. Did that come through?
Yes. And this is such an important point that you make. You write that corporations know that the wealthy have a distortionary impact on the economy as they continue to spend while everyone else flounders. So, as long as the ultra wealthy are spending so much money, it's going to sound like things are fine because we're talking about consumer spending, and that's how we determine how the economy is doing.
Yeah, definitely. So as long as some people in the economy who have a lot of money are spending that money, the like you say, the data look actually pretty good, Like, hey, Americans are spending, but really because of the unequal nature, that like K shape that I was talking about, the picture on the ground looks a lot different than it does in numbers. And what I was kind of getting at with that paragraph that you read is that corporations know that the wealthy are doing lots of spending, so they start marketing consumer goods and experiences and trips to the wealthy, and that just ratchets up the prices of goods for everyone.
And this is where Biden really got himself in trouble because throughout the campaign, he constantly talked about how great the economy was doing. And people thought, what are you talking about? I can barely make ends meet here.
And Trump is doing that now. I mean, if you tuned in to his primetime address the other day, it was really him decrying the idea that people are having trouble making ends meet and really falling into that same playbook that Biden used of saying, no, look at the data. It's actually okay, guys. And I find that so ironic that he's doing pretty much the same thing.
In our remaining minutes, Emma, based on all the research you did, what do we need to know about what's really happening out there? A total household debt reached almost $19 trillion from July through September. This is up by almost $200 billion from the previous quarter.
Yeah, something that I'm really concerned about that got on my radar more through the course of reporting this story is how available credit is right now. Obviously, credit cards are easily accessible to a lot of us, but then we also have these buy now, pay later platforms. If anyone has online shopped in the past few years, you will often see kind of a built-in option to split your payment into two, three, or four smaller payments through these platforms. And that's basically just a way of using credit to make purchases that you can't necessarily afford. When you look at the data coming out of Black Friday this year, there's a really, really large percent of people who are using buy now, pay later platforms to afford the goods that, they maybe have been able to afford traditionally, but can't pay out of pocket this year. So I would just say, these are corporations that know people want to continue to spend, and so they're making credit easily accessible so that you can continue to spend. But that credit comes with strings attached. There are interest payments, there are late fees, and that's something that I'm really concerned about moving forward.
And Emma, what are your plans for the new year in covering the economy?
So many plans. I've been scribbling down plans every single day because everything keeps changing. There will be more policy changes that I can't expect now, but I think I'm going to look a lot into the medical system. Like I said, I want to look and see how hospitals are already suffering due to some of these cuts. There are many Americans who live further than an hour away from the nearest emergency room. And I expect that those numbers will rise as more hospitals can't afford to take on uninsured patients who aren't able to pay back for the cost of their services. So I'll be watching the medical system. I will be looking, as you mentioned earlier, into how some states like California and Illinois, two states that I spend a lot of my time in, are able to provide for their citizens and how other states, often red states, are not. And so we'll get this really unequal distribution of the social safety net based on where people live and who their governors are. That's something I'll be watching as well.
Well, we'd love to have you back, Emma. Thank you for your great work. Emma Jansen is a writing fellow at the American Prospect. Her recent piece is called Selling the Poor on Spending Like They're Rich. Thank you so much, Emma.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And I want to thank Malihe Razazan for producing today's show and doing such incredible work this year. I also want to thank Nina Kissinger for her incredible work this year, Ethan Elkind, Angie Coiro, and Suni Khalid for filling in this year, Kevin Vance for doing great engineering work. We're all going to take a couple of weeks off. Well, I know Kevin isn't, but Malihe and I and Nina are going to take some time off to breathe. and recharge. We're going to play some of our favorite shows over the next 2 weeks. And then in January, we are going to focus on more positive stories. I know you all want that. We do too. Just to talk about where good things are happening, people doing really good work on the ground. If you have any ideas, please email us yourcall@kalw.org. We hope you have a peaceful and restful holiday. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.